good morning or good afternoon, whatever the case may be. We read today from Matthew chapter 21, Jesus telling a parable after he has made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and he's met with resistance and hostility and questioning of his authority and challenges to who he is by the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees. They're really pushing hard against Jesus. And for their own purposes, of course, you know, this is, he's on their turf now, and so they're going to protect it at all costs. So he's telling a couple of parables in a row as they've challenged his authority, and so here he goes with another one. This is told with the disciples around, I'm sure, but in particular for the chief priests and the elders of the people who come up to him as he's teaching in the temple. And he has these words to say to them. "Hear another parable," he says. "There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" he asks. And the chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the people, respond to him by saying, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." And Jesus responds to their answer with, "Have you never read in the scriptures that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruit. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. So Jesus tells this parable in response to those who are challenging his authority. And in particular, not just anyone challenging his authority, those in authority or with authority are challenging his authority. And so he responds with this parable that shows that they're in the wrong place when it comes to how they're thinking. So the image is a vineyard. And a vineyard is a pretty common image in New Testament and Old Testament scriptures. It's a very common thing. And here in the Willamette Valley, we have lots of vineyards, so they're familiar. And it's a familiar image. So he sets this up by saying there's a vineyard and it has a wall around it and it has a wine press in it and it has a watchtower over it and it's well protected and well taken care of. And again, this is a common image. The prophet Isaiah uses this image back in Isaiah 5. He uses the image of a vineyard. A little bit different in that case as to what happens to it. But here, the vineyard is safe. And the vineyard in Isaiah represents the people of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, and Jerusalem in particular. And here too, we have Jesus setting this up as this is God's kingdom. He's the owner of the vineyard, the owner of the house. And he leaves the vineyard, the people, with some people to look over them, the tenants, he says. There are tenants who are tasked with oversight of the vineyard. And in the parable, there doesn't seem to be any issue with how the people are being taken care of, how the vineyard is being taken care of. The tenants seem to be doing a good job with that because it produces fruit, which is what you want in a vineyard. The problem is how the tenants respond to the owner asking for what's his. And their response is horribly violent and completely wrong. So the owner, who is away, representing God, who is allowing God's people to work, he sends people to them and to the tenants to collect his fruit to collect the what is rightfully his. And rather than just be obedient, hand over the fruit that's the owner's, give to him what's rightfully his, they kill the servants that are come to receive it. Not just once, they do it twice. They kill the servants twice, violently. They kill these servants that the owner of the house sends. It's an extraordinary response, a strange, unusual, unheard of response. Who do these tenants think they are? That they can hold hostage the vineyard over the owner, that they have some sort of authority to hold hostage the vineyard and all of the fruit that's being produced. That's the problem here. The problem isn't the vineyard. The problem is those who have been set with the task of oversight and being the go-betweens between the owner and the vineyard, between God and his people. So Jesus is telling this parable specifically about the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, those who are in authority over the people of Israel. And he doesn't hide it too much, you notice. So they kill the servants, and then the owner of the vineyard says, I'm going to send my son. And in the parable, they'll respect him, knowing full well that they have no intention of respecting the son. So the owner sends the son, and the tenants see him, and they say, this is the last straw. We've got it. If we kill the son, then we get everything. How that's supposed to work, I'm not actually sure. How that system was set up, I don't know. But it doesn't make sense, because the owner still owns the vineyard and anything in it is rightfully his. So they kill the son, expecting to inherit what would have been his. It's a very odd mindset. How would that work? So Jesus is setting the people up to hear this, to hear that they have been not doing a bad job taking care of the vineyard. They've been doing a horrible job with the being the go-betweens. They've usurped authority. They've taken things that weren't theirs. They've accepted things that were meant to go to God and taken them for themselves. They've done all sorts of horrible things to the messengers that have been sent to them to get them to change, or to at least collect the fruit. They can still be horrible tenants, but at least give the fruit. But it doesn't work that way in the parable. And so Jesus comes right out to them and says, the kingdom of God is going to be taken away from you because you have been the tenants that have been so poor at being the go-betweens, have been so disobedient, been so violent, and with expectations that are unheard of and quite frankly, not possible. And you guys you've lost it. And it's funny, they perceive that he's talking about them. Yeah, because he said, I'm talking about you. And so then they decide to go hands off. And then Jesus, again, is going to launch into another parable. And all this time, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the elders are trying to figure out how they're going to trap Jesus so they can arrest him. Again, Jesus is demonstrating in the parable this strange mindset that the leaders over the people of Israel have had and done such a poor job of it. And I love in the parable how Jesus doesn't say that the kingdom of God's going to be taken away from the vineyard, that the vineyard is still God's. The vineyard is still safe in the wall. The vineyard still has the wine press and is producing grapes and producing fruit. And Jesus doesn't say that the kingdom of God's going to be taken away from everyone, just those who have gotten the all wrong. They're the ones who are going to lose out. But the vineyard is still safe. The vineyard is still in the hands of the owner, in the hands of God. So I take from this And I hope you can too, that while there have been, over the centuries, horrible leaders in the church throughout all time. I mean, if you go back to first century and just go on through the list, yes, horrible leaders in the church. There have been some amazing leaders in the church, but there have been some horrible ones too. There have been some horrible leaders in the world, some amazing leaders in the world, but some horrible ones too. And the consolation that we have as being in God's vineyard, being his fruit of the vine that he takes care of, is that we're safe behind the wall. No matter what happens with the leadership around, in the church, in the society, you know, those who are in God's hands are kept safe. Those who are in God's hands are kept secure. Those who are in God's hands are kept fruitful, producing. Those who are in God's hands are kept at peace. Now, the authority issue is a whole nother issue, because those who claim authority over the church or over God's people, over the kingdom, those who claim authority and do a horrible job with it have to answer for something. Now, yes, they are all included in the kingdom of God. But Jesus has some harsh words for those who usurp that authority. It's a challenge. They're not without forgiveness. They're not without hope. They're not without a chance to repent and turn it around. But there's a real issue with that. There's a real issue with those who stand in between and try to usurp authority, God's authority over his people. God will always preserve his kingdom. God will always preserve his church, even against leaders that seek to destroy it or seek to co-opt it for their own. That's God, and that's what he does. He proclaims through Christ that the gates of hell are not going to succeed in destroying God's church. They won't prevail over God's church. The very gates of hell. So, if the gates of hell can't overcome the church, then poor leaders can't do it either. They can make a mess of stuff, no doubt about it. But God's church is God's church. It will always be his church. It will always be his kingdom. It will always be his people. And so through Christ, we have this seal. In our baptisms, we are made one with Christ. So we have this seal, this promise, this guarantee, this covenant that as we are the vineyard, as he is the vine and we are the branches. His banner over me is love. That he will always preserve us. He will always keep us. And so even as we look around today and we see the chaos, we see the mess, we see good leadership, we see poor leadership, we see some hope, we see no hope, we see a mess, we know, yeah, it's a mess, but God preserves his people. Through all of the changes, the waves, the winds, the ups and the downs, God preserves his people. And so I want you to hear that today, that God preserves his people. God preserves his kingdom. God keeps it always in his care. And we commend ourselves to that kingdom through Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen.